about Pearl Harbor, by the way.
Hello and welcome. We're back. A little bonus bri. This is a little freebie intro to this week's bonus bri, available only to Patreon subscribers. Patreon.com/TheBallerLifestylePodcast. You know, I saw that this was happening. I knew that this was coming. But what do we know about me? What do we know in general? One, sports, pretty gay. Knowing when sports are happening, super gay, like knowing what teams are playing, very gay. All that stuff is too gay for me. But luckily, I have people in my community that can keep me posted on this stuff. And I saw this was happening, and I was pretty excited because it's fucking like a Greek tragedy played out in a 12-minute halftime somewhere in the country. I don't know where. I think he told me last year, but we're going to find out again. I am joined now by the great Zach Xavier, who you've heard several times on the show before. Great friend of the show, and he is our official Pop-Tart Bowl correspondent. Zach, what is up? How are you, buddy?
I'm well, Brian. Thank you for having me. It's a magical time of year. What is straighter actually than Pop-Tarts?
Yes, that's true. There is no more hetero food item because it's a breakfast cake that you're too lazy to toast. You know, like gay men, they put together an actual breakfast. A Pop-Tart is the ultimate hetero food stuff.
It's the anti-smoothie.
So the Pop-Tart Bowl happened again this year. And now I know you knew you were into the Pop-Tart Bowl last year because as an alumnus of the University of Miami, the U, they played in the Pop-Tart Bowl, and I saw that it was this year, and I'm like, oh, you had alluded that were they not to make the playoff, that the University of Miami would in fact be back in the Pop-Tart Bowl. And so I was worried I wasn't going to get an update because the University of Miami did in fact make the college football playoff. The Pop-Tart Bowl, I know it was contested between two teams, one of which is BYU.
Yes.
The Soakers.
Yes.
The other
was supposed to be Notre Dame, but they said no.
Yeah, they bitched out. Maybe the greatest, like, you couldn't be part of a cooler thing. Like, they're going to lose anyway, so what's the point of putting them in the playoff? If you're not going to play in the playoff, let's either go to Hawaii and do one of the bowls in Hawaii, or we do the Pop-Tart Bowl with the fucking Pop-Tart play in the middle of the game. Off. Yes, exactly. Okay, who did they play? I feel like it's a Texas team.
Close-ish. Georgia Tech.
Oh, very close. Georgia Tech still has football.
Yeah, they do.
Wow.
They are a football team,
now,
I think is the biggest compliment I can give.
Where in the country is this this game contested? I'm gonna take another guess. It feels like Florida. So Orlando, Florida.
I believe you're right. I am confirming. Yeah, yep. Exactly. Orlando, Florida.
Of course. Orlando, Florida. Yes. Okay. So what happened this year? Give us an update. You are the official Pop-Tart Bowl. First of all, I know I'm saying the name of the game wrong. So maybe you could update us on one. Put some respect on it. What is the game actually called? And what happened this year in the Pop-Tart Bowl, which has a better name than that?
It does not. Ah. It's the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Okay. So you are wrong.
Okay. But
it's
not there.
It was a hell of a game this year. BYU had a comeback. But that is all besides the point. I don't think anyone cares about a BYU-Georgia Tech.
No.
Football game.
No.
The Pop-Tarts Bowl this year did start in kind of a wrestling fashion, referring to itself as the People's National Champion.
Oh, this is like the bad motherfucker belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Doesn't really count, but people pretend that it's all of a sudden it's like, oh, we just made up. It's like the Intercontinental Championship. It's like, well, we already have the heavyweight championship, and all of the wrestlers are technically heavyweights. So, what's this And also, we only do the matches in Florida and Omaha. Like, what do you mean intercontinental? It doesn't make any sense. But then you're like, oh, I want to be the honky tonk man. Wants to be the intercontinental champion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And One thing the real national championship doesn't have, at least up until this year, I believe, is a death toll. And this is the third Pop-Tart Bowl. And in each of the previous 2 years, one of the biggest moments is at the end of the game, one of the Pop-Tart mascots stands atop a 15, 20-foot toaster with a sign that says, "Dreams really do come true," is slowly lowered into the toaster and happily cooked, and the winning team eat the Pop-Tart right on the field. As part of this year's ceremony, they had a ring of honor honoring the two previously deceased Pop-Tarts. Some of the Pop-Tart mascots stood solemnly with jackets, honoring those who had fallen before. They kind of threw the jacket and knocked over the memorials.
They had Pop-Tart. The Pop-Tarts were wearing Pop-Tart, specially constructed Pop-Tart-shaped jackets? They don't have arms. Oh, they do.
Yeah, you know, well, they make do.
Okay.
And actually, Pop-Tart arms, this is a good segue.
Okay.
This year, to start the game, there were six Pop-Tart mascots. Split between two different teams, and one of those. So first of all, there was Team Swirls, right? Which is chocolate chip cookie dough, a horrible sounding Pop-Tart,
yes.
Frosted Wild Berry, and Frosted Hot Fudge Sundae.
So that's what, it feels kind of racist. Yeah. Like, yes. It's like the Sneetches on the beaches, you know? The Swirls can only hang with the Swirls.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All horrible ways to start a day, too. You know, if you're waking up and reaching for a hot fudge sundae Pop-Tart.
Yeah. We wonder why the kids are falling asleep in class and having diabetes.
But Team Sprinkles did have frosted cherry cookies and cream. But where Pop-Tart arms come into play is they had protein slammin' strawberry, which, near as I can figure, is a protein heavy Pop-Tart. For somebody who is very mildly committed to getting in shape. This Pop-Tart had really buff arms.
No.
On the mascot.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I have to look this up now.
So anyway, great game. BYU had a comeback.
25-21.
Yeah. So I think they were down, 21-7 at one point.
15 unanswered in the fourth quarter. But like you were 11 Michelob Ultras in by that point. Like you were like you shot your wad at halftime.
11 calories in.
Yeah, that's it. Yes.
BYU's coach was hammering Pop-Tarts. You know, it's the only trophy that has a toaster in it if you win the game. So it comes down to the end, as I told you, there's a big 15, 20-foot toaster at midfield, and this year they were going to cook three Pop-Tarts at once.
Well, a toaster doesn't even do that. What is they got some fucking AI toaster? A toaster could toast two things.
A 15-foot toaster might do it, though.
Well, there's three slots? Is there four? Do we go with an empty slot? I've seen a four-slot toaster, okay? So what... We're only going to toast three?
It's more a cremation oven than a true toaster, at this point. There's one slot they're lowered into.
They're all three going the same slot? I'm not into that at all. Yeah.
But I think this is a slight against Notre Dame because protein, slam, and strawberry, the buff Pop-Tart, as it were.
I see it.
Was one of the three to be cooked. And... you could tell something nefarious was happening.
Of course.
His sign did not say dreams do come true. It said, not my dream.
Oh.
And this Pop-Tart jumped off this large toaster and ran away.
What?
Yes. I think this is a slight against Notre Dame, who did not want to participate in this game.
Oh, it's a metaphor.
Yeah.
This is fucking high art. Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be?
Strongest Pop-Tart didn't want to play ball. So...
that makes sense.
As part of the game, you get sprinkles and the logos on the helmets. Yeah. I would have loved to see the gold Notre Dame helmets just covered in sprinkles.
It would be cool if they did as homage to Marcus Freeman, they sharpied a line across the buff Pop-Tart's forehead, where it was just like one stripe of a different flavor. And everybody could go like, what the fuck is that? Why is he doing that? That's weird.
Yeah, I definitely, that's more of a team swirl thing to your,
good point.
To your
relationship. That's a really, that's a really good point. Fair.
But you know, the other two were cooked and devoured by the winning team, as is the want of a capitalist society.
So the actual, not the winning, the winning Pop-Tart team ate the cooked Pop-Tarts, because that's disgusting.
So going back to last year, right, one of the bits of lore here is the Pop-Tarts want to be eaten. A reporter had tweeted, he asked if it was offensive to eat Pop-Tarts in front of one of these mascots.
Yeah.
And he said, it's all they want. And then the mascot began to shove a Pop-Tart into his mouth while, quote, grunting softly. So
that's
these Pop-Tarts
so upsetting.
Seek death. They seek to be eaten.
That's so
and only
upsetting.
At that time do they find joy. So, you know, as the three were lowered in, they were happy. They were dancing. They emerged from the bottom of the toaster ready to be ripped alive.
Because they came out toasted. They want to be toasted because that is their, well, it's kind of like, it's kind of like the Aztecs, you know, the slaves want to be thrown in the volcano because it's like their duty to their tribe. Like that's the highest calling you can have is that sort of martyrdom. Same in the Pop-Tart community.
I mean, Pop-Tart. It's
Yeah.
But as ever, you know, this, I look at this year as kind of the Avengers Infinity War of the Pop-Tart Bowl. It felt
too
like
gay.
It was setting up more lore. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Oh, no, I thought it ended. Didn't spoiler alert, didn't I?
Endgame was the payoff to Infinity
War. That was before or after?
I don't watch these movies, actually.
You seem to know about them. Does Iron Man dies, right? And what about Hulk? Does Hulk die? Hulk definitely dies because, spoiler alert, he's supports the Palestinian cause, so it's his career is definitely dead. That's for sure. There, look for Edward Norton to be revived as the new Hulk, because the original Hulk, if he ain't dead, he's about to be. His career is dead.
Benjamin Netanyahu gets his own Hulk in the upcoming movies.
Okay. So, well, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for the update. One more thing while I have you here, because you are one of the world's foremost experts on, of course, JonBenet Ramsey and her untimely demise in 1998, six.
We're not done looking for that killer.
They've uncovered new evidence. Zach. Yes. There's
to me.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know this. They've uncovered new evidence. I don't know what it is. I was hoping you could update us. Maybe you could look into this and you could come back with the new theory on the JonBenet Ramsey killing. And then also you could, at some point, I wanted to do this on, you know, days sneak up on me, but I was hoping that for Halloween, you would explain the song, The Monster Mash, to our audience. Yeah. Give us your thoughts on the Monster Mash while you're here.
My feelings on the Monster Mash are complicated.
Yeah.
Because
understand.
In reality,
it's a bop.
The Monster Mash song doesn't actually exist.
Hold on.
Monster Mash, as we know it, is a song about people dancing to this song called the Monster Mash, must have existed previously. So I'd like to hear that Monster Mash that the Monster Mash we know is about.
Well, there's a name for that, right? It's the copy of the thing that doesn't exist, like the 50s diner or the Irish pub. They're all a copy, much, and the Monster Mash, it's a copy of a thing that there's no original of. So the Monster Mash, they're singing about the song, the Monster Mash, a song that we've never heard. They're doing the mash. Wait, it's a dance and a song.
Right, because they were doing the mash.
To the Monster Mash.
Right, yeah. Presumably. Presumably.
Unknown.
You know, it's a lost text. Yeah. Is it Leo Carpazzi? Who,
I don't know. This
maybe.
Too deep for
you
me.
You know, if he's still alive, could answer that for us.
Fair. All right, man. I appreciate you. I love you. I thank you so much for coming on and joining us and apprising us of what happened.
Quickly before I go, because it's great to read, JonBenet's father calls the new evidence encouraging.
Yes.
So I'll dive deep.
Well, they're trying to get Burke off. Like, look, we all know it was Burke. It was Burke with the fucking mag light that was right there on the counter. There's tons of pictures of the mag light right there on the counter. And she has a mag light shaped indentation in the top of her fucking head. And we're supposed to believe some dude broke in the house, laid in wait, didn't bring a pen or paper, despite the fact that he was there to do that. He had thoughts that he wanted to write down a note, used their pen and paper.
True artists never explain their art.
That's true. That's a good point. There's always going to be questions. Okay, Zach Xavier, you're a friend of the show. We appreciate you very much. Thank you for joining us. We will see you soon. Thanks, brother. Okay, that was our buddy Zach. That is that's just a little pop so I could get paid for some commercials and so that there could be something that shows up this week for all of our regular listeners. I will continue with a bonus, Bri. A lot of topics this week. Oh, last week I meant to discuss the mountain climber that feels really bad for leaving his girlfriend on the mountain to die while he extricated himself only. And so we're going to discuss that now on Bonus Bri, patreon.com/theBallerLifestylePodcast. Please join us there.